on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is October 14th, 2015. And I'm here to help you fill in some gaps, hopefully bolster your investing knowledge and maybe graduate you from the ranks of average to above average investing. That's what my hope is. Asking questions, of course, is a key tool to learning. So if you'd like a second opinion on a stock transaction or some plain talk about a 401k strategy, make sure you come and ask me. Be happy to talk about it. Our anytime number is 888-99-CHART. You can call it right now, 888-992-4278. That's toll-free in the United States. So here we are in the month of October of 2015, and we're still asking. We only have 2.5 more months left. Will the Fed raise rates this year? Is the Fed going to raise rates? They said they were, but I'm not feeling it. I guess, you know, we're in October. And they don't feel that they can raise rates. And as I look around, they have ample reasons not to. And my market commentary this morning, written on investtalk.com, I do one every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This morning, I talked about the Fed and their real concern over the lack of inflation. And that was clearly outlined in their minutes of their most recent meeting that that was a big concern of theirs, a lack of inflation. And of course, they can come up with any excuse not to raise rates, but the lack of inflation, I've been saying on the radio a long time, there's no inflation for them to fight, so there's no real reason to raise rates. The only reason to raise rates is because they want to raise rates to fight the next recession. There is no other reason. And this morning's producer price index, which is inflation at the producer level, was -0.5%, a shrinkage. That's called deflation. Even if you took out gasoline, volatile items like gasoline, food, trade, it still fell 0.3%. Year over year, deflation came in at a -1.2% for the overall producer price index. And the only part that showed any kind of hint of inflation, any kind of hint of inflation, was core wholesale prices, up 0.5% in the last 12 months. Now, this is just one report of several that will be coming out. We'll have the consumer price CPI. This is the PPI, the consumer price index, come out. And there's a couple other reports. And are we going to see any inflation at the retail level? Not even if you take out gasoline prices, which are falling. I don't know. But there's a worldwide deflationary pulse that's going on right now. Now, that's really not good news for the Fed, the consumer, or the economy. The Federal Reserve, the consumer, or the economy. Deflation is not good news. It's harder to overcome deflation. We know how to fight inflation. Look at Japan in the last 30 years fighting deflation. They're still fighting it. Very tough, tough thing to avoid. Remember, when deflation happens, bad things happen, just like when there's too much inflation. Bad things happen. In deflationary scenario, well, salaries go down. That one thing. It's harder to pay debt because you're going to get less money. So if you have a lot of debt, man, the federal government does not want deflation. No governments around the world want deflation. They want to inflate their money, make their money worth less in the future to pay off those debts they've taken on. Anyways. Do you have questions about the Fed's impact on today's stock prices? What will happen when they finally up the rates? When will they do it? Will it be next year? Are they going to do it this year? They won't do it at the next meeting. I'm pretty sure about that. So let's talk about your concerns. Personal money issues, broader economic ones. I'm interested in all that stuff. We're here to answer your questions. Sorry, we have our 24-hour listen line. You can call in time you want. We're live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time, which means we're live right now. And again, our number, 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now.
Hi, Steve. My name is Mike. I'm live in Tracy. My 401k through my company, they invest 15% of my salary without me contributing a nickel or a dime to the account. So, and I've been contributing about 15% of my salary to that 401k account. And I know that this year is a maximum $18,000 plus $6,000 for catch-up. Should I continue to invest in that way, or should I deduct or lessen the amount that I'm putting into my 401k by the amount that I can contribute to an IRA 5,500 or 6,500, 50 years or older? I'll take my answer off air. Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, I like the IRA part of that question, because then you can invest in anything you want. You're not stuck with the choices in the 401k. And it's great. They're very generous to pay 15% towards your retirement, no matter if you contribute or not. That's very good, very nice of them. I mean, that's unusual. But you do want to put away the maximum. But if I had a choice, I'd probably reduce the maximum I could put away in a 401k by $5,000 and put it over there. But talk to your accountant, because if you make too much money, there's issues. So talk to your accountant before you do that. Get the answer from them, for him or her, to make sure you just don't do it. And then all of a sudden you find out that, you know, it's not deductible, because you want to make sure it's tax deductible. I wonder if they offer a Roth 401k. You know, that might be a route too, to maybe split it up between the two. Good question, though, and it's really nice that they're putting that much money away from you. That's great. So, what about government bonds? Can they provide downside protection? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Also, I want to talk about the Eurozone industrial output that dropped in August. And then I want to talk about Asian markets, which have fallen because of fresh concerns about Chinese growth. So I wanted to, there was a bunch of stats on Chinese growth that I want to go over here. And the stock chart for the NASDAQ has hit some really strong resistance. And I want to talk about what is resistance, and what am I talking about, and what does it mean? Because if you're looking at charts, if you're a chartist, which, you know, I like charts, I just don't, they're not gospel to me. But I do use them. I think they tend to be true. They're just not always true. They tend to be true. And what we're seeing now is a correction off a bottom that was made in August, and then a retest of that bottom. And now it's coming back up. So it's like a W shape it's making. Okay, so there's tops and bottoms since the August bottom. And on a technical basis, where it has to break up from that W to give us a clear next step rally. Because all we're seeing now is a bounce from the bottom. But we haven't seen the beginnings of the rally that usually we get in year in. We don't always get it. Don't think we do, but quite often we do. But, you know, the big times that it wasn't, the times that we don't get a year-end rally usually coincide with the prospects of recession. I know notice no one's talking about the big R word. They're talking about weakness in our economy's growth, but no one's talking about recession. So I'm going to talk about recession. We are going to have another recession, everybody. It's just when. I don't think it's this year. It's not going to be this year. I don't think it'll be next year. It might be the latter part next year. But the year after, I think you have a pretty high probability of recession. Do I think, what is the Fed going to do? Another QE4. Another QE. I can see that easily coming. You know, but not yet. You know, you have to look at what the market's giving you now, and, you know, it's not telling you that we are in a recession or going in recession. The economic numbers are not telling you that, but they are telling us a story, and the story is pretty weak growth around the world. Pretty weak growth, not strong growth. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you see Walmart today? Took one of the biggest one day down. It was down, I don't know, 8% or so, 9%. For Walmart, that's big. Big downstroke for Walmart. And why? Well, because the CEO talked about maybe, you know, hinting that they're going to get rid of some of their weaker performing regions in the world or stores or whatever. And everybody took that very negatively. And he kind of poo-pooed earnings that weren't going to be that great. So, you know, stocks get punished. When you have bad earnings and or you're not projecting good growth, stocks get punished. You will get punished. And that's what happened to Walmart today. Still a very good company, long-term, a very strong company. Don't misinterpret the one-day activity as anything but a one-day activity. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. I want to hear your comments and questions today. What is one of the most common and most serious mistakes the average investor makes? Not thinking long-term. Letting a short-term downturn in the market lead to inflicting long-term damage to your portfolio. So let's talk about that. 888-99-CHART. Okay, we're going to go to a voicemail right now.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I wanted to get your opinion on a stock that I currently own, Badger Meter Incorporated. Symbol is BMI. I wanted to know if I should continue to hold or sell and at what point if the market goes south. I appreciate your thoughts.
BMI, Badger Meter Incorporated out of Milwaukee. It's a small cap company, $866 million, so it's a pretty small company. So it's probably going to be fairly volatile, even though the beta is below the S&P 500, 0.77. The beta of the S&P 500 is 1 because that's the benchmark. But so it's not as volatile as the market itself. This is surprising when you're an $866 million company. They have good earnings. They're making money. They manufacture residential and commercial water meters and fluid meters and systems for the utility and industrial market. They just bought another small distributor of theirs for $15 million, so not that that would make anything. They're going to make $1.94 this year. That's down 10% from last year. And then next year, they're going to go up 23%. I wonder why they have that. The 23%. Anyways, the stock is selling for $59, so it's not cheap. I mean, it's selling for about 25 PE for next year's earnings. That's pretty high. The average is 18 to 33 over the last 5 years, the PE range. So it's fairly, it's kind of steep for not a lot of growth, 3 to 10% sales growth. So I think it's kind of pricey right here. And if I was a holder of this stock and I wanted to hold on to it, you could, if it breaks below 56 and closes right around there, I'd be out. It's having a hard time at getting above 60, about 61 and a half. And today's at, you know, 60, 59, 70. And then there's a lot of resistance in the $64 area. So it's a tough call for this one. If you're not a long-term, they don't pay a dividend or very much of a dividend, 1.3%. So if you're not holding on to this for growth because it doesn't have much, or dividend, it doesn't have much, then you sell it because it hasn't got a lot of space to go up. I don't think it has a lot of reason to go up. I think it's kind of overpriced. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 88. Let's go to Trinity in San Jose. I'm sorry. Trini, how you doing?
Trini, hi, Steve. I just wanted to find out. I got marketer MKTO at 25. I know it's earnings are due on October 23rd. I know it hit up. 33.99 was a high in recent days. And now with this market where it is and the way it is behaving, I just wanted to get some input.
Okay.
Your expertise on that.
Okay, if you'll hold on, I got to take a quick break. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. Our number to join us right now is 888-99-CHART. I'd love to talk to you. This is Invest Talk.
Part of the Invest Talk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast and downloading today. A well-constructed personal balance sheet
can be a reality check, something essential to building a financial plan. Where are your financial strengths and weaknesses? That's our talking point for Thursday's podcast. We hope you'll join us then.
Trini, thank you for holding. I appreciate it. So it's Marketo, MKTO, and you want my opinion on where it's going? What was your question?
I bought it at 25. I think it reached 33.99 in recent days. And,
right.
And with the market correction now, what is your expert opinion? Or should I hang on to it or?
I'd probably sell it. Okay, let me talk to everybody else too. And this is a company that provides cloud-based marketing software that enables organizations to engage in modern relationships marketing. Okay, why would I sell it? Because it's not making any money. It's not going to make money next year. Sales are growing very fast, 40 to 50% a quarter. But it's a $1.3 billion company doing $50 million a quarter. But they're going to lose 76 cents a share this year and then another 57 cents next year. So there's no, they don't have debt, which is good. Management owns 5% of it, but they don't have a clear path of when or how they're going to make money. When are they going to start making profits? So the stock is selling for $31.60. And they hit a lot of resistance at $33 to $34 a couple days ago. And it came off a bottom of $23 in July. I think that this is the area you probably take some money off the table. They're going to report earnings, I think, on October 22nd this year. And, you know, their sales growth looks very good. It's just that I don't like owning stocks that don't make money. So my personal preference would be I would sell it at this at where it got, you know, about 33, 34, where it's high, and now it's coming off of that. It may go down and retest $28 again. I don't know if you want to hang around for that. I really don't. Thanks for the call, Trini, and thanks for holding on. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ron in San Jose. He wants to talk about down payment on investment. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, Steve. I have been putting aside some money for the down payment on my home, which I'm hoping to buy within the next 6 months or the next year. But given the market, you know, kind of doing a correction and kind of starting to go up, I've been very tempted to see if I should be investing that money or just keep it in my savings. So any advice you can give me?
Okay. I don't like mixing money that you're going to put down on a house with investments because you never know where the stock market's going to go in any short period of time. And I hate to have you lose money just when you're trying to save up the money to buy a house. So personally, I don't think I would expose it to the stock market because that's your house money. And I know you can't make any money on that money because, you know, in a savings account, you make nothing. But I would not expose it to the market. Even though this is the best time of the year, we're going into the end of the year where it rallies quite often. May not. And do you really want to expose that? See, house money to me is money that shouldn't be risk. Where stock market money is money that you have, you want risks because you're hoping for growth. So the house money, I think, should be set aside just for the house and just save it. And I hope that you probably don't want to hear that, huh, Ron?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. I just, you know, my preference is the stock market is risky, everybody. As we saw, we've seen it happen before and over and over and over. It's a risky spot. It's a risky place. Long term, it's a really good place to make money. It really is. But that's long term. And if you're saving up for your house, I don't think you should expose it to the stock market. It's just not a wise thing to do. And speaking about the stock market, the NASDAQ, the NASDAQ is hitting resistance. It came off the bottom in late August, came up, hit the resistance, then went back down, came back up, hit it again. And the resistance I'm talking about is the 50-day moving average. The 50-day moving average of the stock. We're talking technicals now, technicals charting. And it went right to 3 days ago, it went right to the 50-day moving average. The last couple of days, it bounced off. So it looks like that is resistance for the NASDAQ. Now, what's interesting is that's not the same resistance for the S&P 500. because it broke through the 50-day moving average 3-4 days ago, and now it's coming back down to it. And for the S&P, that would be support right at the 50-day moving average. And these are all really short-term technicals, everybody. We're just looking at short-term. For both of these companies, for the whole market to really start its leg of a rally, to start, it has to break above the 200-day moving average of the stock, the long-term moving average. And both of them are below it, and they'd have to break above it. And for the NASDAQ, for the S&P 500, that's 2060. And the S&P 500 now is closing at 1994. So it's quite a ways from that. And I would be watching the S&P 500. The NASDAQ is more narrow, like the Dow, very narrow part of the market, where the S&P 500 is broader. This is InvestTalk. We've reached the halfway mark in the hour. There's still plenty of time to join in the discussion. And I really want you to help decide our next webinar topic. Take our instant surveys real fast. Choose from our list that we put up there, the ideas that we might want to do. But you also can type in your own idea. So just go to InvestTalk, go to the InvestTalk tab, and click on Webinar.
This is InvestTalk for Wednesday, October 14th, and we're open to any money question. What are put options? Should I consider a short ETF? Bring your question to Steve right now. The line is open, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Job number one on InvestTalk is always answering questions. And our 24-hour listener line is open anytime you want to make the call. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
This is Bill from Fairfax, Virginia, and I had a question concerning long-term care insurance. Insurance doesn't pop up as a common topic on your show, but I'm hoping your insurance industry experience can help out a little bit. For some background, I'm 39 years old and was looking into long-term care insurance, thinking it would be cheap at my age, but I was surprised at the quotes I'm getting. Seems like a lot of money to spend for the next 30 or 40 years with questionable benefit, as I'm sure the elderly care industry will probably go through changes in that period of time. What would you think of an alternative where I fully fund a Roth IRA for a few years, invested in a relatively aggressive mix in order to fund or at least take the sting out of the cost of long-term care needs in 30 or 40 years if they come up? I already contribute up to a limit for my 401k and I'm otherwise satisfied with my retirement savings and I'm not currently funding an IRA, so this could be set aside for that purpose. Thanks, Steve. Bye.
I do have a lot of experience in insurance, and I do not like long-term care insurance. And what he pointed out, you know, he answered his own questions for me. I think it's an excellent idea to take the premium you would pay for long-term care, especially at your age, take that premium, put it in a 401, put it in a Roth IRA. I almost can guarantee you you'll have just as much benefit from that. And the chances of you actually using long-term care is not high. Not high. People think it is, but it isn't. Remember, there's long-term care is if you get sick or disabled or whatever, and there's a waiting period, 30, 60, 90 days, never. I've never seen one less than 30. Most of them are 60 or 90 days before you can start collecting, and it's not a lot of money. You pay tons of premium. And as you get older, I have seen more and more long-term care premiums go up to such a point that when you're old, when the most likely time that you'll need it, it's so expensive you can't afford it. You would have been better off putting that money on. I just had this argument with my father-in-law about his life insurance. He's almost 90. And I told him years ago, I don't know, when he was like in his 60s, Dad, don't buy that whole life policy. Take that money and put it in the bank or put it in the market. Just every month, put that premium aside. You'll be a lot better off. And he would be a lot better off. It's a $50,000 policy. If he dies, and you know, it's just insane that he's still paying that premium. Just insane. Because he would have made so much more money. He'd be way ahead of the game, and the money be in his pocket. He could spend it. No one needs that life insurance. None of his family. So long-term care is similar. You don't, you know, are you going to need it? Yeah, there's going to be a time when maybe you'll need it and you wish you had it. But the odds are not that if you put that money aside, you'll be a lot better off. And you answered your own question there. I thought that was a very good idea. Roth IRA. Let's go to Robbie in Santa Clara. How are you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
This is regarding the stock Walmart. Today's news was out, and their revenue forecast was little dim for the next 2-3 years. And also by looking at the longevity of this stock, the growth of this stock, is it a good idea to invest in Walmart? At what levels you should enter in this stock?
Okay. Walmart fell today, has been falling for a while, and it looked like it was finding support right around $64 or so. And it started to move up to 66, and then today it took a big dump and broke all support down to $60. Was it 60? Yeah, $60. Long term, the stock is very solid, very good company, 3.3% dividend. It's not expensive at this point. It's still going to make, they'd lower their earnings, but it's still going to make $4.70 or so next year per share, and a $60 stock. So from a value point of view, this looks pretty good, value point of view. But you want to wait a little bit before you jump in. That's that you need. It looks like support is going to come in right around 50, 58 to right where it is, $58 to $60, and then the next support is like 50 to 51. Those are the places I would buy it if you're going to buy it. I think that you may get more weakness, and let it settle down, and then when it starts to move sideways for a week or two, and then up, then buy it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a good solid company. Yeah. It really is.
Okay, but the world is going towards the e-commerce side. So yeah. Do you think any impact on Walmart with that e-commerce going in a high swing?
Well, yes, it's going to. The e-commerce is impacting everybody. I think it impacts mostly. The most impact it has, you see, is in the malls, you know, where people are not shopping like they used to. They're shopping online. Walmart is still going to be around because they are really working hard to be more than just a retailer's big box store. With, you know, drugs and eye care and tax preparation. And then they also are working hard for an e-commerce online site to buy Walmart stuff. So I think, you know, a Walmart has the best ability to survive and thrive. And I still feel that they're a pretty good bargain. I do. I don't think they're going to suffer as much as others like JCPenney and, just regular big box stores, Robinson's and Macy's. I don't know. Walmart's a big discount store. I kind of like it. Thanks for the call, Robbie. I appreciate it. Let's go to Art, Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out if now's the time to start looking at GoPro, because I see that they dropped like about looks like about 60% since the high, and yes. I'm thinking during the Christmas push, this is when they generally get a lot of people buying their product. So I was just wondering if now would be a good time.
Okay. GoPro, everybody knows who the, well, maybe not, manufactures mountable and wearable cameras and accessories for self-capturing and sharing of content. And it went IPO at $24 a share in June of 2014, and today it is at 28 $28.
Yeah, just over 28.
Yeah. So, and it fell again today. I think it's too soon to buy. Art, I think it's going to fall down to the $50 level, 50 to 52, and it's showing too much weakness to me. It's got some bad press, saying that their sales growth is not going to be as strong as it has in the past. Mind you, sales is growing 50 to 70% a quarter, huge. Earnings are going to be up 29% this year and another 16% next year. But those estimates are being ratcheted down, not up. And that's what worries me a little bit about the company. So I think I'd be a little cautious here. You want to see it trade sideways to up, you know, before. And right now it's trading down, okay, from 88 down to 50. And it looks, you know, down to 60. And it looks like, oh, man, it's getting really inexpensive. Well,
actually, I think you might be looking at the wrong one. It's actually trading at 28, right?
Oh, GoPro?
GoPro.
Hold on. Oh, that's great. I'm dyslexic. I'm looking at another company, but I inverted the letters.
Oh.
Let me look. Come on. There's GoPro. Yeah, okay, there. I IPO'd at 24 in June of 2014.
Oh, okay.
And is at 26. Yeah, I got those numbers right, but the chart is wrong. So the numbers I gave you are right, but not the chart. GRGPR. Oh, getting old. Getting old. Anyways, yeah, it's at 28 right now. It is, you know, it's making money. You got to give it that. And it is growing 50 to 70% a quarter. You got to give it that. And it's not super expensive, really. $1.98 it's going to make next year, and it's a $26 stock.
Yeah, because I was just wondering about the bad press that they were getting, and I thought maybe, you know, that took the price all the way down, and I'm just wondering if it's still fundamentally still, ready to be a buy or...
Yeah, fundamentally looks solid, but they are ratcheting down the estimates for earnings. I think you want to wait till it settles. You just got to wait until it settles down.
Oh, okay.
Okay? I don't think you want to jump in it too soon, Art. I really don't. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to James, listening to us as a podcaster out of New York. Thanks for listening, James.
Yes, Jamie, Steve, how are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Listen, I wanted to know about ticker symbol BX, maybe inquiring to see if you think it might have a little momentum in the short term coming up this final quarter of the year, perhaps like a short-term holding.
Okay, BX, everybody, that's Blackstone Group. Provides global alternative asset management and financial advisory services. They've gotten some bad press lately about their fees. And, you know, they've been a very successful company over the years. They're going to make $2.29 this year and then $3.39 next year. And it's a $33 stock. So that means it's a 10 PE. So that looks pretty good. The sales have been a little erratic and they have a very high dividend. So I'm thinking that this might be a good place to buy this because it's cheap. And it's cheap because they've been getting some bad press. Whether they deserve it or not, they're still going to make the money. They're still going to make a lot of money. So, and it's a huge company, $18 billion company. It's not small. So if you're thinking about buying it, well, this is kind of where you kind of want to buy it in this area, I would think. I mean, this is where I'd buy it. You might want to wait a little bit, but... I don't know. It looks good right here to me. I think this is the place. Appreciate the call, James. Thank you. That's Blackstone. BX is the symbol, everybody. BX. There's more than one reason to become an InvestTalk Insider. In fact, there are dozens of good reasons. Or any of these topics interest you? I want to know if any of them. Annuities, wills, trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, update ETF lists. If you're an InvestTalk Insider, you have ready access to these things. These are info sheets, information sheets that we produce, I produce, Justin produce, and trying to help you understand these important money topics. So join up for free. Go to investtalk.com and scroll down to Invest Talk Insider.
Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial. KPP clients can count on more than portfolio management. If they have questions about whether to downsize their home as retirement nears, what are the tax implications if they sell and buy another? Well, now, KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff to help make the best possible choices when it comes to decisions about your home. And of course, KPP has a range of investment programs to suit different life situations and goals. Visit investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
888-99-CHART. Asia markets drop on fresh China growth concerns. Concerns over China's growth. Why China is important, especially in Asia and parts of Europe, because of first its size and the exports to China. Okay, from various countries. So this is why there's concerns about their growth, and their growth has been ratcheting down. So there's been a report, China's consumer price index rose 1.6%, CPI, remember I talked about the PPI? That is low for them. Inflation has been coming down hard. They're worried about deflation. There's one report. There's also a report about their industrial production slowing down. There's all kinds of issues that are concerning everybody about China. How are they going to jumpstart their economy? They've done many things here, but it doesn't seem like we've seen any evidence of repairing the economy. Now, mind you, China's economy is still growing, and the estimate was for about 7% this year. Well, that might not be the case. They're having trouble reaching that goal. And we're probably talking more to closer to 6% growth. Now, of course, here in the United States, that'd be wonderful growth. In any place in Europe, that'd be great growth. But not for China. China has been growing 10% or more for years up until a couple years ago. Then the growth is slowly slowing down. Now, part of this is due to the law of large numbers, where as they grow more and more and bigger, they can't keep it up. But that's not what's really this problem. This problem is industrial production, everything, and real estate, a lot of things across the board, exports and imports, everything's falling. So this is a concern worldwide. Each month I schedule a day or two to visit one of our satellite offices in California. I'll be in San Jose November 11th. November 11th, San Jose for the day for meetings all day long. You want to meet with me, it's time to check in, time to set up an appointment. And the times are set up on a first-come, first-served basis. You can resolve your time or reserve your time by going to investtalk.com, click on schedule a meeting. Our call number, 888-99-CHART, and follow the prompts.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Why not make use of KPP Financial's free risk analysis tool? This is the award-winning tool that can cost as much as $100 or more to use elsewhere. You answer just a few simple questions and it assigns you a risk level, which can be used to measure against the risk in your current retirement portfolio. Again, it is free on investtalk.com.
Okay, let's go talk to Pat in the Bay Area. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing excellent, thank you.
Thank you.
And it is an honor to speak to you, my favorite program on the planet Earth.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
My question is, my wife, when she was 1 year old, her father bought her a few shares of Disney, which is up in the $20,000 range now. And of just those shares of being the dividend reinvested and those shares splitting. Right. And I'm looking for that magical stocks that we can purchase for our grandchildren and try and do the same thing for them.
When I saw the little comment up here, good stocks for grandkids, the first company that came to my mind was Disney. Well, Disney would be a good one because I think they'll be around for forever. Yeah, I do. With all with the they have theme parks, they have movies, they have TV shows, they have I like Disney as one of them, but there's others. Pat, I'd stay away from technology stocks like Apple or Intel or Microsoft. They don't have 30 years stay in power necessarily. 20, 30, 40 year. They don't. They don't have that. They could be around, but there's too much risk involved. And I'd probably stick with companies like boring companies, maybe like Coca-Cola, Johnson & Johnson, ExxonMobil. That's not exciting stuff, but when you start reinvesting the dividends over time, AT&T, you know, it compounds. And over that long a period of time, they'll have a lot of money. They will.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. They already have Disney. I just didn't know how to diversify my grandchildren's portfolio.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. Disney's great. I mean, that was the first one that came to my mind. And, you know, I would do other big blue chip that have been around for a long time that paid nice dividends, pretty good dividends, always the dividends going up every year. I mean, Warren Buffett bought Coca-Cola years and years and years ago, and he still owns it. And the dividend is more than his original investment, the payout.
Oh, that's
dividend.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Pat. I appreciate it. Arizona industrial output drops in August. So all of a sudden, the first quarter of Europe, they had growth, their GDP growth. The second quarter looks like it's going to be not as good. Who do we blame? Well, China is a big cause. Germany is the one that's having the biggest decline in production in their manufacturing. And why? Because they're in a big export economy. And who do they export a lot to? Right, China. So when China slowed down, that hurts Germany. And if Germany is slowing down, it hurts everybody else. Now, remember, there's also, you know, there's 19 countries in the EU. So Germany is not the only one. Industrial output fell in Spain and Italy, but jumped up 1.6% in France, which is surprising. Much of the decline is also because of a 3% drop in energy production. But if you take that out, still 1% drop in manufacturing of capital goods. So now, year over year, the decline of industrial output came after an 8% increase in July, but now the decline happened at, 0.5%? 0.8% increase, not 0.8%. Then now that declined 0.5%. So it's going to be kind of flat for the first half of the year, the EU. Industrial production, meaning, what's that going to do to their GDP number? Is that going to tell you that their GDP is going to be kind of flat? This is a problem. The ECB, European Central Bank, they say that they're ready to step in. And remember, they're already doing QE until next year, a monthly buying of bonds like we did here in the U.S. And they're ready to step in and do more to try to... Everybody needs inflation. Everybody's pushing because every country in the world wants inflation. And what we're having is deflation. It's a problem. By the way, the market was down today. Dow was down 157 points. The Nasdaq down 14 and the S&P down 10. Down day. Hours up. Thank you for being here and spending this time with me. If you have a question you want answered on InvestTalk, call our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley on behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. Thanks for listening, and we'll hope you'll join us again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.